Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
It's Here and Now.
It's time to get going again.
Neil deGrasse Tyson, astrophysicist and director of the Hayden Planetarium in New York, frequent guest on The Daily Show, and a guest here on Here and Now, and of course, host of his own wildly popular series, Cosmos, is soon going to join the late-night talk show wars, although from a decidedly different slant. His show, Star Talk, on the National Geographic Channel, will be based on his podcast of the same name, and Neil deGrasse Tyson joins us from New York to talk about it. Welcome.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So are you going to have a band?
So I think the initial media pulse that responded to the press release, I think they overreacted.
Well, I'm sure everyone thought he's replacing Colbert.
Here comes Tyson in late night, busting into the saloon with the double hinged doors. No, I have a podcast and it's called Star Talk Radio. And through an agreement with National Geographic, they took interest in filming and airing 10 of them this spring.
Taped in front of a live audience at the Hayden Planetarium. What fun. What are you going to talk about? Because we're going to hear a little of your podcast in a second, and the range of guests is extraordinary.
The whole construct of Star Talk is to invert the typical expectation of how you would learn science. So normally you'd think you tune in and there's a journalist interviewing a scientist. This is the inverse of that, where I'm the host and I'm the scientist, and my guests are hardly ever taken from the field of science. They're hewn from pop culture. And the conversation during Star Talk is about all the ways that science has impacted that person's livelihood from childhood on through adulthood.
Well, for instance, we have a clip of you with the late Joan Rivers. At one point, you asked her if she was interested in living in space, where we know there's little or no gravity. And here's some of her reply.
What I've thought about is I know that if you go around the Earth, if you go backwards, you get younger.
Oh, that was in the movie Superman.
Yeah.
But yeah, but that's not real, though. That was just Superman.
Well, apparently Suzanne Somers now lives in a rocket ship. So, no, I don't like any of that stuff. I don't like the outfits. So I wouldn't live in outer space.
So it's all about the clothes.
Yes. I'm sorry. You got the wrong person here.
I don't know if you have more Joan Rivers clips, but I have to add one. There's one where I said, so Joan, what do you think about the aliens, the people are seeing? She said, I don't care if we're visited by aliens, as long as they're single and Jewish. So on Star Talk, we just have fun with science, and you get to learn that people who you wouldn't think about science, think about science more often than you thought.
Well, we know that because you've got 3 million followers on Twitter. There's millions that listen already to the podcast. By the way, tweets you sent out caught our eye. In one you wrote, wouldn't it be cool if zombies and vampires became human if we bit them first? Somebody needs to test this hypothesis.
Exactly.
You know, obviously trying to reach to younger people, zombies all the rage. But do you ever worry that serious science, talking about global warming and things like that, isn't getting covered?
Well, so first, my target is adults. And if kids happen to be listening and learn something, that's great. Adults outnumber kids 5-1. They're in charge. They wield resources and funding and opportunity. So it's the science illiteracy of the adult population that concerns me vastly more than whatever's going on with children. Because if you fix the adult problem, then the kids just follow immediately when that happens. I'm not going to try to create a population of scientifically literate middle schoolers and then wait 40 years for them to become president. I'm not that patient. So,
are you worried about with adults? What are you worried about that adults are not paying attention to?
Well, lately, in the modern body politic, people are cherry-picking science. And I don't know that this country, that has precedent in this country. If you cherry-pick science, that's the end of your informed democracy. You are making decisions not based on any kind of emergent truths, which are established by the methods and tools of science.
Are you referring to evolution, or what are you?
Anything. It's anything. And by the way, it doesn't have to be whether you are cherry picking because of your religion. You could be cherry picking because of your politics, or from any other philosophy that's driving your life. And you are not. If you, by the way, in a free country, you can do what you want, but if you also are charged with creating policy, then you are creating policy based on what you want to be true consistent with your philosophy rather than what is actually true, consistent with the emergent truths of science. And so you shouldn't really be tasked with creating legislation and laws if you want to cherry pick your science for your belief system. And that's all I'm saying, because your laws affect everybody and not everybody shares your belief system. So laws should be based on objective truths.
And in the past, you've said, though, that debating, let's say, climate change deniers isn't worth your time. But is it, given what you just said?
Yeah, that assumes that, let's both stand up front and there's an audience and whoever wins the debate is right. No, that's not how it works. You know, whoever has a clever turn of phrase, whoever, I'm sorry, that's not, I don't debate anybody, all right? I select what I post as emergent scientific truth, and I put it out there.
Well, let's listen to a little bit of your thoughts on the science of climate change from your recent show, Cosmos.
Climate has changed many times in the long history of the Earth, but always in response to a global force. The strongest force driving climate change right now is the increasing CO2 from the burning of fossil fuels, which is trapping more heat from the sun. All that additional energy has to go somewhere. Some of it warms the air. Most of it ends up in the oceans. All over the world, the oceans are getting warmer.
That's Neil deGrasse Tyson from his television show Cosmos. His new TV show, Star Talk, based on his radio podcast, will be premiering next month on the National Geographic Channel. And Neil, you're going to have, as you say, non-scientists, but how do you decide what you're going to talk to them about?
Oh, so I don't predetermine that. I'll just give you an example. During the podcast, I interviewed Josh Groban. Now, he's far better known to women than to men. He's a crooner, singer, composer, and interviewed him. And so what is he doing on Star Talk? Well, that's where you would have learned that in high school, for his science fair project, he attached mirrors to the surface of a speaker cone, angled lasers into those mirrors, played music through that speaker cone, and watched the points of laser light dance on the ceiling. Mm-hmm. And I said, yes, there's perfect street cred for the geekosphere right there. And you would never know this. And the point of Star Talk for me is to tease out of people or find ways that people can share with us all the ways that science has mattered to them.
And we find out these things because of the great questions you ask. And so I'm going to ask one of you. If you had the Neil deGrasse Tyson dinner party and they'd all be scientists past and present, who'd you want there?
Oh, I think about this all the time. And then once I think it through, I realize the impracticality of it, and then I abandon the idea, right? So I would have Archimedes, I'd have Aristotle, I would have Hypatia, I would have Isaac Newton. I think I want to stay before 20th century, but that's just a historical bias. I like really old stuff. So I put all these people around the table, and then I'd realize half of them don't speak English. So how do I get that one to work? And then Isaac Newton, if I had one dinner guest, it would be Isaac Newton, who, of course, does speak English, being a British scientist. But then I realized I would say, so Isaac, you know, we're driving cars around. He said, well, what's a car? And I said, well, okay, it's a horse-drawn carriage without a horse. Well, then how does it move? I say, through an engine. They said, what's an engine? Or I say, well, it runs on gasoline. Well, what's gasoline? Well, we derived it from oil. Well, what's oil? You know, there's no, you can't have a conversation. You'd spend the entire dinner just establishing common vocabulary. Isaac Newton's day, there were no engines. There were no machines that converted energy of one kind into energy of another. That would be the hallmark of the Industrial Revolution, that his equations, his work that established that the universe was knowable, would birth. So I'd want to have that dinner with him to show him what has come of his work, but it would be a very difficult conversation.
Well, then forget about Archimedes from ancient Greece. that would be astrophysicist Neil deGrasse Tyson. Thank you, first of all, for letting us inside your head. He's going to be host of the late night talk show Star Talk, which is based on his popular podcast. We'll link you up to everything at hereandnow.org. Neil, as always, thanks so much.
Yeah, thanks for having me.